So say what you see. And I think part of the next bit of the Christmas story is about what we see. And so we're going to turn to Luke chapter 2. If you've got a Bible or you want to switch it on this morning on the app. Luke chapter 2 verses 21 to 24. Something of what happened next in this Christmas story. And let me read it to you. So this is after the shepherds have gone back glorifying and praising God for the things they've heard and seen, and which they've just been told about. And so they carried on the message. And then Luke has this little moment. He has a gap of a few days. And then he writes, on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So here's Mary and Joseph taking their baby on what would probably be a two-hour little walk from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to do what it said in the law of Moses, from way back in the Old Testament days, to present him to the Lord. They did what the law required, and thankfully we don't have to do what the law requires anymore, but they gave him the name Jesus. I didn't mean the national laws, I meant the law. Because Jesus has fulfilled it. And particularly in light of what happened to Jesus on his eighth day, I'm very grateful. They presented, dedicated their firstborn as required by the law in Exodus chapter 2. So they gave Jesus back. They released him back into the hands of God, recognizing that he was a gift to them as well as to the world. And then they offered a sacrifice. In Leviticus chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. This is what Leviticus says about the sacrifice that they should offer. These are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or a girl. But if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean. So the text says that she gave a pair of doves or two young pigeons, indicating that she couldn't afford a lamb. Jesus was born in poverty. He was born in the poverty of Mary and Joseph. But here, I think, is the really interesting thing for us to note. She gave a pair of doves and a pair of young pigeons, but she also gave the lamb, didn't she? She gave the Lamb of God into the hands of the priest, the fulfillment of what the law could never fulfill. The Lamb of God was given back to be the sacrifice that would affect us all in the future as well. See, I think that's what you see in this story, is this big, big picture that stretches way back to the beginning and moves all the way into the future. And right in the middle of it is the Lamb of God, given for each of us. I wonder if you see that. I wonder if that's your experience. Well, let's see what you see. I'm going to show you a video this morning. I hope it's going to be okay. Let's see how we
go. This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make? The answer is 13. But did you see the moonwalking bear? Yeah. Go!
It's easy to miss something you're not looking for. How many saw it first time? One, two, three, four, five, maybe? Wow. Clever, wasn't it? Did you miss something you're not looking for? Maybe this Christmas there's still something that you've missed because you haven't been looking for it. And wrapped up in this amazing story is something brand new for you to discover still. It's very easy to miss what God is doing if we're not careful. And then enter the scene. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Here is a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Here's a man who was in the right place at the right time with the right heart, and he saw what everybody else missed on that day because they weren't looking for the Messiah to come into the temple as a baby in that moment. But Simeon was expecting it. Simeon was there ready to see what everybody else didn't see. Now there was also a woman there, verse 36, a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And what did she see? Coming up to them, to Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. See, Simeon and Anna would have passed that test if that had been Jesus, if that had been the baby coming in, because there was something about each of those people that helped them to be ready to see what God was going to show them. Now, around the room, there's some rolled up pieces of paper. If you've got one of those and you'd be happy to bring it up to me, come on up to the stage. If you're not happy, pass it to somebody else who may be happy. I'm sure there's a couple of... Emmanuel would be happy, I'm sure. Anybody else? Please don't be shy this morning. Oh, well done. Well done, everybody. Okay. You can unroll them now. Okay. Okay, and if you can hold them out for everybody to see, that would be brilliant. I think I'm going to just move this out the way and move this out the way, and then we can line up a little bit better. Okay, there should be, have we got any more? Ah, that's better. Okay, just move along a bit here. Move along a bit, just stay there. Just move along a bit, Esther. Anybody else? Come on up. Don't be shy. There's a few missing, I think. There's a few missing. Come on, somebody. It's Christmas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Any more? Is that it? That's it. Sorry. That's it. Okay. Right. Now, I've got something for you to do now. We've got to sort these out into Simeon and Anna, okay? So, which three refer to Simeon? I read you the story. Were you listening? Which three refer to Anna, okay? And then I just want to line them up, okay? There's a bit of a clue in this one. It says him, so I think you must be Simeon, so you must go over this way. You can put it down for a moment while you travel. It's okay. Come on, move up, please. Move up. Move up. No, move up, please. Okay. Okay, the Holy Spirit was on him. Okay. Any Annas around? 84. Was Anna 84? Yep, okay. Who was in the temple night and day? Anna. Okay, that's good. Okay. Who was praying a fasting? Anna, well done. By some amazing way. Could we just move you, Becky, over to the other side? That would be great. And Rob, could you just move in? Brilliant. Oh, next one. One more. That's it. Move in. Brilliant. Round of applause. What an amazing team. Okay. So, there's... good and godly. That helped him to be able to wait. Could you hold that one instead? Or as well as? That's great. The Holy Spirit was on him. He was clearly a person who worshipped God. And God had promised. So he was busy watching out. No, just put it right in front. Just hold the two of them together. Hold the two. That. Brilliant. Brilliant. It's very exciting up there, but... okay, and Anna... well, she was 84 years old. We'll move you a little bit, Esther. She'd been waiting a long time. Could you hold that? I'm sure somebody will be looking out for him. Praying and fasting, definitely a worshipper. In the temple night and day, watching. Waiting, worshipping, and watching. What a posture of the heart that is at a time when they're expecting God to do something. To be someone who's waiting and waiting and waiting. Someone who continues to worship while they're waiting for what God has to do. Whatever it is. And someone who keeps an eye open for what God is going to do. Because the expectation is there for all of them. Thank you. Round of applause, my six fantastic helpers. You can go and sit down now. Brilliant job. You can take them with you if you'd like as a memory of today. I'm so generous. Brilliant. See, this is what strikes me about this amazing story, is that there's these elements in these people that I think God wants us to enjoy as well. Good and godly man, a person who continues to wait for what God has to show. The Holy Spirit living on him, worshiping. God has promised he would see the Messiah. He's continuing to watch because he believes it's true. And what a posture for each of us to take away from this Christmas season and maybe into 2025, to commit ourselves to wait, to commit ourselves to worship in the waiting, and while we're worshiping, to keep an eye out for what God is still to do. Because Simeon, he saw Mary and Joseph, and he saw Jesus, an eight-day-old baby among many that may have been brought into the temple that day. He saw who he was waiting for. And he sees who Jesus is, and he sees what Jesus will do. And that's why he bursts out in praise. This is what he says if in the text. God, you fulfilled your promise. God, you've provided peace. God, you've prepared salvation. God, you've revealed your light into the world, and you're going to give your glory. See, these are all amazing images that point towards the completion of the promise that God has made. He'd waited his whole life for this moment to come. A Messiah who would usher in a world that was going to be turned upside down on itself. A world where the gentle would become strong and the rich would become poor. An upside down world. And he might have laughed at the irony of the sight before him because maybe he wasn't expecting a baby. But because he was attuned to what God had in store, he saw this baby and this impoverished couple, and he witnessed in that moment the greatest coronation in the whole of history. But Simeon had waited, and I'm guessing it's not a great quality, and not a quality that a lot of us have. Along with many other prophets throughout the Bible, he'd waited and waited, but he was the one who got to see the fulfillment of it. All those Advent years that he had been waiting, all the centuries of prophecy where the people had been waiting. You know, it's been easy for us. We've if you've had an advent calendar, you just count off the days, you eat the chocolate, it's easy, isn't it? And then at the 25th, Jesus is born. But what about those who didn't have an advent calendar, who were just waiting for God to come and do something amazing? He didn't have the luxury of a countdown. He didn't know when it was going to happen, but he knew it would happen sometime. And he was the one who God revealed himself to in that moment. And somehow in the waiting, he just got comfortable to trust God that he would fulfill his promise. That's the sort of God that we can see and we can know. And then Anna, she sees Mary and Joseph. She sees Jesus, an eight-day-old baby, and she sees who Jesus is, and she sees what Jesus will do. And she comes up to them and gives thanks to God, told everyone about Jesus, looked forward to the day of freedom that was still ahead because God had promised it to be. And I guess this is why we carry on living in this Advent season. We can't help but today is still this Advent of expectation that one day God will come again. And so why shouldn't these candles be lit again as we wait to anticipate the coming of Jesus in power and glory? Waiting patiently, worshiping constantly, watching expectantly with wonder at what God will do next. What an amazing story. Not the leftovers, of course, but the continuing chapter after chapter that God wants to write that we get to be part of. Let's stand to sing, if you're able, Light of the World, You Came Down into Darkness. Father, we want to thank you for this amazing gift. And I pray today that you'll help us to see you more clearly again. In your name, amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So here's the thing about Simeon and Anna that I think is good for us to continue to know. But I think there's one more thing about them that I think is even more important for us to experience. So I need some help today. Would anybody like to come up and help me? The only catch is you've got to do everything exactly as I tell you to do it. All right? Okay. Anybody going to volunteer to come up? Yeah, you two guys. You're game for anything, aren't you? Come on then, both of you come up. Round of applause for Nathaniel and Ryan. Okay, you're going to do everything that I ask you to do. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And is this happen at home? Have you got lots of practice doing everything your mum and dad tell you to do?
Yes.
No.
Yes, no.
Okay, you're the good one and you're the trouble. Is that right? Yeah. Is that right, mum and dad? Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. Anyway, Nathaniel and Ryan. Right, okay. So, Nathaniel, I would like you to sing a song for me, either Jingle Bells or Away in a Manger, okay? Which one's it going to be?
Jingle Bells. Dashing through the snow, and I want to stop and say, out of his ears. Laughing all the way, bells on bobtails ring, making spirits bright. I want to watch the sun when the sun in the day is sun is bright. Oh, jingle bells,
jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Hey! Amazing, amazing. I think we've got a seat spare for you just there next to Claire. So well done. Okay, well done, Nathaniel. Thank you very much indeed. Good job. Yep. And he did it for free, didn't he? Isn't that amazing? He did it for free. Okay, Ryan, what I'd like you to do is to take your socks off and wear them inside out. Are you ready? Have you got socks on? Do you know what socks are? Yeah, okay. So I want you to take them off, turn them inside out, and put them back on your feet, okay? Okay. Oh, my goodness. Oh. That's amazing. Oh, honestly, your feet need a bit of a wash, but apart from that, you're doing okay. I know it's been Christmas, hasn't it? So, I love it when people do what you tell them to do. Do you like it as well? How many of you would like somebody who does exactly what you tell them to do as soon as you tell them? Goodness me, you guys, you are blessed, Mum and Dad. You are so blessed to have these two lovely children who do everything they're told to do straight away. Well, I think a round of applause for Ryan today as well. Amazing. Thank you very much, guys. You can go and sit down now. Well, in a minute anyway, when Ryan sort of finished. And by the way, Nathaniel, I love the dancing you did as well while you were singing. I didn't ask you to dance, but well done for the dancing. I think that was cool as well. Have you got another move you can show us today? A bit of a Christmas move? Go on then, show us then. That's amazing. Very good indeed, yeah. We could be here all morning because he still hasn't tied up his laces yet. So have you got another move that you could do, or is that about it? See, in my day, that was called the funky chicken. Was it called the funky chicken? Oh, no, just in my house, obviously. Yeah. Was there a name to that dance you just did? No?
Chicken.
Chicken, it was. Oh, I guess right. Excellent. Okay. Anyway, go on, Nathaniel. We'll wait for Ryan another time. Another round of applause. Okay. Okay, now, I wonder if there's somebody else who would come and do exactly as I tell them to do if I offered you one whisper. Anybody? Two whispers? Three whispers? Four whispers? Five whispers? A bag of whispers? Tom, you would you? Oh my, are you the, and Rob, you're the only two in the whole house who would come and do exactly as I tell you to do. Well, both of you come up then, please. Round of applause for Tom and Rob. Thank you. Okay, and we'll have a little playoff then. Yeah, Tom, you stand over there. Rob, you stand over there. And No, we're going to ask the audience. Okay, I'm disappointed I've used the socks one now, Tom, because that would have been good. Oh, Rob's come back for more. Okay. So I would like you to describe your favorite food without saying what the name is. All right? Say so that the audience can guess, okay? And then the audience is going to vote who gets the packet of whispers, okay? Okay. This is quite straightforward, isn't it? Would you like to go first, Tom? Here we go. Don't take too long, though.
I like roasted cow served with chopped up potatoes and some green things.
Thank you, Tom. Rob?
It's got 2 pints of milk in every bar.
Oh, 2 pints. Right, anybody want to guess what Tom had?
Yeah, it's pretty much a roast beef dinner.
Oh, roast beef dinner, well done. Anybody guess what Rob likes?
Chocolate, particularly whisper.
Oh, well done, guys. That was very straightforward, wasn't it? But a round of applause. I think you better share them out and enjoy. You can share them with anybody else that you want, okay? Well, thank you very much. I'm just disappointed by both of you, really, I have to say, that you didn't come up here unless I offered you an incentive. See, that's the trouble sometimes. People will only obey you if you offer them an incentive, won't they? Have you noticed that at home? Yeah, if you do that for me, I'll do that for you. Have you noticed that? If you tidy your room, then you can have an hour on the PlayStation. Or that's a bit old-fashioned now, probably, or whatever it is. Have you tried that? Have you tried that sort of obedience? We call that transactional obedience. It's only done because there's something given in return. But you see, I think the lovely thing about Simeon and Anna, and this is why I'm just going to leave them in, is that their obedience is not transactional, it's relational. You see, they have a relationship with God that meant when he told them to do something, when he pointed out, here's the couple, here's the baby you've been waiting for, they didn't ask for anything in return. They just did what God asked them to do. And in that moment, right there in that temple, Simeon bursts out in praise and prophecy to say what God has promised will happen. Anna bursts out with thanksgiving because she'd seen what God had given them. See, when obedience is relational, then it becomes transformational. That's my giveaway to you today. It's like the thought for the day in the cracker that you haven't cracked yet. Obedience is not transactional, it's relational. And when it's relational, it becomes transformational. When you do what God asks you to do straight away, your life is transformed. Simeon, completely transformed. He's seen what God had promised. Anna, 84 years in that temple, had seen what God, and she bursts out with praise to God in that moment because she'd seen what God had done, and it transformed them. Mary in the story, what did she say when it came to obedience? What did she say? I am the Lord's servant. What did Joseph do when he was asked to do something? He did what the angels told him to do. What did the shepherds do when the angels sang them their great song? They said, let's go and see this thing that has happened. What did the Magi do when they came from the east of Jerusalem? They were following a star. They'd seen the star. They'd come to worship the king. The star was pointing them to all that time before. Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to fulfill the law to Jerusalem. Simeon responded to what God was telling him with obedience that day, and Anna too responded to what God was showing him. See, when obedience is born out of relationship with God, then our lives are transformed. And I'm praying that for me, for all of us, that when we have waited to see what God is doing, as we carry on worshiping in the waiting, we're still watching. And when God shows us something, we're obedient to the call that he's making on our lives in that moment. So will you wait? Will you worship? Will you watch? And will you be obedient to what it is that you're seeing? You know, when we sent our invites out door to door, on the inside of the cover was the first sentence says, all I want for Christmas. And then there was a blank line. And we asked people to think about, what is it you want for Christmas? And I wonder whether what you want for Christmas has been given to you, or whether you're still waiting. Whether you've said to God, this is what I want, and you're still waiting. But continue to be obedient. Because Simeon, in all his waiting, he got peace. And he knew that what God had said had been fulfilled. Peace came into his life. He knew he could leave this world content because God had heard his cry and answered his prayer. He'd seen salvation wrapped up in that baby in that moment. He'd seen it. And Anna, she got to see the Messiah, the one she knew would bring freedom and forgiveness and a future, because Jesus, she knew, would change everything. So I guess here, sort of at the back end of this season, will you come and behold him? Will you be looking out for what he's going to do? And will you be faithful just as Simeon and Anna were as well? We're going to watch a video as we come towards the end of our time here. Let's pray together. I pray that you'll make that response to the invitation to come, that you might see Jesus before you. You might know that he's come for you. No matter the situation or circumstances you find yourself in, no matter what's gone on in the past or what is happening right now in the present, There is a future for those who come. God, we thank you for the peace. We thank you for your salvation. May our eyes see your freedom and your forgiveness, your healing and your strength. We thank you for the light that has come for revelation and for your glory which descended upon this earth. So I pray for each of us here this morning, those watching online as well today, wherever they are, that they will come and behold you. They will see you, just as Simeon and Anna saw you because of their waiting and their worshipping and their watching. May we be the people who are ready to see you and ready to be obedient, to join in with what you are doing. So make yourself known, I pray, as we move into a new year, a new season, perhaps new things for some of us here today. Help us to keep watching and to keep being obedient to what it is we see you are asking of us and what we hear you saying. So pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us and fill us again, I pray, that we might respond to your coming and offer ourselves as a sacrifice for your love that you've given and shared with us. We thank you, Father, in your powerful name. Amen. Amen.